Mic is. No? Now? Yes? Good morning. Good morning. All right, there you go. There you go. So happy to be here today. Are you happy to be here today?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, very good. You know, before I start, I want to say that last song. There was a line that says, God running after me. Right? Now, isn't it true that God ran after you, grabbed a hold of you, saved you, blessed you? Right? Yes? Amen? Okay, I need some feedback here. What I would say to you is this. I it's not a line in the song, but we need to be running after God. We need to be running after God in thankfulness for God running after us. And part of that is being here today, to be in God's sanctuary, to be in God's house with his family, with his church family, opening up his word, praying together, encouraging one another, loving each other. That's the beginning part. That's Sunday, running after God. Now, Monday through Saturday, there's many other ways to run after God, but we should focus our thoughts on, yes, Lord, we thank you for running after us, grabbing us and blessing us, but Lord, we want to run after you. We want to run after you, because I'll tell you this, the scripture says if you draw near to God, what does the scripture say? Sing it back to me. What does it say? You draw near to God, what will happen? He'll draw near to you. Okay, good. We have a biblically literate church, so that's good. So let's begin the message today. Let's have a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we prepare our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you ran after us, that you grabbed a hold of us. And for some, you're still running after us, Lord. And we just want to sit still and listen and be blessed and hear your spirit speak to us, Lord, and help us to respond in a way that is a blessing not only to our earthly life but to our eternal life. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for a blessing upon it. And we pray, Lord, for Pastor Nate as he preaches in another place. Thank you for the body of Christ and for all who want to serve you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the message is, Your Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. Now, I have been asked to continue this series on the Lord's Prayer. Now, Pastor Nathan, for the past few weeks, has been breaking down this prayer line by line. And we're at the point of the prayer where we come to the verse, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is a prayer that every disciple of the Lord should pray for. Not that their human will would be done, but that God's will would be done. Let that be our focus. Because God's will is perfect, it's good, and it's pleasing. And my will is none of those things. None of those things. So I will admit to you right from the beginning that it is hard to preach one verse. It is hard to preach one verse. So I first wanted to share the context of Matthew 6:10. The context of this, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So turn, if you would, to Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8. This is the contextual starting point for the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. We'll look at verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as many heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need of before you ask him. Now we come to the Lord's Prayer. We can read it together. You can read it with me if you'd like. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer is included in the prayer portion of the teaching of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is by far, and I will wrestle with anyone to the ground, by far the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher to ever come to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the greatest sermon. And it is a sermon that is teaching the disciples of the Lord His will, His purpose, and His law for their lives. It's about kingdom living. It's about how you, as a disciple of the Lord, will live on this earth that we live in, how we will serve, how we will live, how we will honor God, is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. The Sermon on the Mount and His teaching on prayer is given to Jesus' disciples, to the 12, then to the 120 that are in the upper room and who gather around Jesus. There was much more than the 12 apostles. It was 120. And then it would be for the 500 that Jesus appeared to all at once when He rose from the grave. Then it would be for the thousands upon thousands of Christians who became Christians in the book of Acts. And then would become disciples. Because people didn't just become Christians, they became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we know that they gathered daily at the synagogue and at the houses, and they heard the apostles' teachings and prayer and had fellowship. They grew as disciples. No one was just a Christian in name. They were a Christian in action. And then this Lord's Prayer belongs to you and I, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christians by name. We are disciples by heart. We are to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who follows the Master, not just in word, but in action, and lives out their life for the Master, for the Lord, to be a disciple. And as a disciple, the Lord's Prayer is for you. This Lord's Prayer only has power to Christ's disciples who have surrendered their life and their will to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 5 to 8 here, it will begin. Jesus is saying that prayer, in your prayer, let it be personal. Let it be deep. Let it be real. Prayer is not meant to be a show. You don't get extra points for more words in prayer. How many of us think that? If I just pray long, I must be getting deeper and deeper. You don't get extra points for extra words. And this goes especially for preachers and teachers. Don't make your prayer a sermon. It's meant to be a time of deep personal inflection, devotion, and an expression of need of our Heavenly Father, our need of the Son, our need of the Holy Spirit, our need of God. It should be one of a heartfelt surrender where we're worshiping and expressing our need and our love to our Heavenly Father, to our Lord and Savior, and to the Holy Spirit that's a blessing upon us. We see from the first part of the Lord's Prayer, the focus of Jesus to His disciples is this. It's all about God. It's about God's glory. It's about God's honor. It's about God's holiness. It's about God's purpose. It's about God's kingdom. It's about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. As we pray, as disciples, we are to submit our will to God's will, not the other way around. In our prayer, we're not supposed to try to bend God to our will, but we're going to bend our knee and our will to God's will. Now, notice also in Luke, there's a parallel passage about the Lord's prayer. It's Luke 1:11. As it began, Luke 11:1 says this. Now, it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So a disciple is watching Jesus pray. And then he's waiting for Him to stop, and he stops. And then this disciple, he asks an A-plus question. If you were a disciple, if you were a student of the Master, you ask this question, you get an A-plus for the day. The A-plus question of this disciple is, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Now, this disciple could have been one of the original disciples of the Lord, which were also disciples of John the Baptist first. There was John and there was Andrew. They were disciples of John the Baptist, and then John the Baptist said, go and follow him. Go and follow him. Now, what I would note, though, in my study of the study of Scripture, is there is no reference to John's prayer or to how John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Maybe it went something like this. Maybe it was like, you can imagine John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist, the wilderness guy, the prophet, the guy who told Herod about not sleeping with his husband's wife or whatever that was. Imagine this prayer. Lord, may the fire of judgment rain down upon these brood of vipers and bring them to repentance. That could have been the prayer. Maybe that's our prayer when we're on the LIE getting cut off. But maybe that's not how Jesus really wants us to pray. I don't know. I love John. I'm not going to downplay him. He's a great man. Jesus said he's the greatest man born to women, so he's got to be great. He's got to be great. Plus, I like the name, to be fair. So from Matthew and from Luke, it is clear that the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to say it again and again. This is a point I want to drive home. The Lord's Prayer is for the disciples of the Lord on how to pray. And a key point for this prayer that we must have to have impact, one must be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Must mean they must be a person of faith, a person who's put their heart and their life in the lives of Jesus Christ. They must be a disciple who has surrendered their heart to believe, to obey, and to live by faith to have Jesus as Lord and Savior over their lives. So again, today our key verse is Matthew 6:10. So let's go there, Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to break down this verse. First, we know that Pastor Nate did a great job talking about your kingdom come. So I'll break down the rest of the verse. Your will be done on earth. Your will be done on earth. God's will is to be done on earth. As a disciple of the Lord, you and I, we want to have God's will to be done, to be his servant. And his will is to be done by me, by you, by his servant, and upon this earth. Not my earthly will again, not an earthly will, not an earthly agenda, but God's will and God's agenda. God is praying that his will would be done and that his kingdom would come. Not my kingdom again, not your kingdom, but God's kingdom. It's not me. It's always a point to remember this. It's the prayer is not about me. It's about God. We need to get to that point because so many of us aren't there. It's not about me. It's about God. And then the verse goes on to say, as it is in heaven, oftentimes ignored here, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how is God's will done in heaven? God's will is to be done, to be worked, to be completed by me, his disciple, by you, his disciple. And the model of how God's will is to be done is the example of how it is done in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven, and who does God's will in heaven? Anybody got an answer? I'll take any answer. How is God's will done in heaven, and by who is God's will done in heaven? Oh, there you go. He got it. Angels, the angels. In heaven, there are angels who serve God in complete obedience with devotion and love and worship. How they worship God, how they long to obey him. It's not a struggle for them. In heaven, there is no rebellion against God. There is no sin. There is no. Can you imagine an angel telling God, no, I got a better idea. You know what? Let me pray for something different. You know, I know you got this great plan, God, but I think we could do a little better. Gabriel, let me rewrite the message, all right? Let me rewrite the message to Mary, see how it goes. You know, there's none of that. There's no wrestling with God. There's no in heaven to God. There's only yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God wills it, and the angels act in obedience to God's will. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, who heed the voice of his word. A great example of the salvation that God, the great example for us is the salvation that God provided for sinful humanity. God provided salvation to us by offering his own son to die on the cross. Now, for the angels who are watching this, and for the angels who knew this to happen, this was marvelous grace. This was a marvelous gift to mankind. It was a marvelous grace and gift to man, and this gift of salvation was not offered to the sinful angels that were in the rebellion of Lucifer. They did not have this blessing. They did not have this gift of salvation. 1 Peter 1:12 says this about the angel, about the gospel, but at the end it's important. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they are ministering the things which now we have reported to you through those who have preached the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which the angels desired to look into. Things which the angels desired to look into. The angels looked in to this salvation, and how that wondrous they must have thought that was, that God the Son would come down to earth and be born a baby, and rise and live a life that we live, to suffer as we suffer, to go through all that we go through, and then to allow himself to go on that cross, to be put on that cross so that we could be saved. What a wondrous thing that was to the angels. They looked into this salvation, but they never despised our salvation. But they were obedient servants to God's will. Although we were created, you know, we're created lower than the angels. And we're not immortal. We're not eternal. We're not nearly as powerful as angels. And yet, in humility, and yet these angels are obedient to the will of God for us. Do you know what the will of God for us is with these angels? That they would minister to those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the job of the angels, is to minister to those who belong to Christ, to minister to you and to I. Hebrews 1:13-14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and he delivers them. For the angels who do God's will in heaven, there is no jealousy of the blessing of God to humanity. Only a desired obedience that brings forth blessing and joy. That's why they can worship as they can worship in heaven. In the same way now, I want to bring this to you. The angels have this. They bring forth that joy and that blessing upon themselves. They're obedient to the Lord in all ways. In the same way, the disciple must pray and obey that God's kingdom and his will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. The same as the angels, as we should pray. And the result for the disciple will be blessings, will be joy, and will be service in God's presence. That when we do as the angels have done, we will reap and be rewarded by our Lord in such a wonderful way. The disciple's greatest example of how God's will should be done is not the angels, although I just spent 10 minutes telling you that's a pretty good example. It's not the greatest example is not the angels. The greatest example is not the great apostles of God's word. But the greatest example of obeying the will of God is the Lord Jesus himself, who the scripture says was made perfect in obedience. Actually, the context of the scripture in Hebrews 5:9 is Jesus suffered, and in his suffering and in his obedience, he was made perfect in his obedience. God's will to be done is how Jesus did it. Let me say that again. God's will to be done is how Jesus did it. Jesus lived and proclaimed the will of God and the love of God with every breath that he took, with every word that he spoke, with every action that he made, to every person he loved, to everyone that he healed, to everyone that he forgave, to everyone that he touched, to everyone he showed compassion to, and to everyone that he ultimately saved and made disciples of. He was doing the will of God each moment of his life. Every aspect of God, every aspect of Christ, and his love towards you and me and towards what we see in the Gospels is the will of God. So as Jesus did it, we should do it. You want to pray, Lord's will be done? Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taught and lived out God's will to love all and to have all and to know that all people have the same and greatest value to God in heaven. All people have the greatest and equal value. No one is more greater and valuable in God's sight than anyone else. We are all equally valuable, loved, and are considered the greatest value to God. The sinner, yes. The saint, yes. The tax collector, the prostitute, the Samaritan, the Jew, the Roman soldier, the slave, the free, the poor, the rich, the male or the female, it does not matter. All are of equal importance value to God the Father. And Jesus went to the cross for everyone in that category, for all people of the earth, were of the greatest value. You were of the greatest value to the Heavenly Father, that he would give his own son so that you could be saved. That was God's will for you. And it doesn't matter what the earthly kingdoms and earthly people will say about you. You are made to be a child of God, blessed and loved, and God loves you because you're his creation, his most valued creation. All are valued to belong to Christ and to be saved by Christ. It is God's will that the disciples of the kingdom of this earth, that we as disciples, we should follow that example. There should be no favoritism among us. There should be no prejudice among us. There should never be no racism among us. As disciples of the Lord, we are in the kingdom of the Lord, and our kingdom has to reflect God's will and God's purpose and his kingdom. And when it does that, it will be a light that will shine the gospel to the heart that needs him. But when we don't do it, we just do ourselves harm. Again, I say to you, no favoritism, no prejudice, no racism. That is the will of God. If there is one who is hungry, the will of God says, feed him. If there is one who is sick among you, show care and take care of them. If there's one who's poor among you, and you can help them, yes, give them work to do and let them work. There is dignity in work, but I'll say this to you. If you're poor by choice and you're not working and you have an opportunity to do so, then the scripture says also that if a man does not work, he does not eat. But again, as Christians, God's will for us is that we would take care what we could take care of, that we would share all of our blessings that God gives to us, we are to share with others. We are to be overly generous and be hospitable and be loving to those who are in need. If God's kingdom were to do, if God's disciples were to do the will of God, there would be a lot less of all this in our world today. Jesus would teach that we are to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all mind, and all our strength. That's the will of God, that we love God. And that we love our neighbor. Now, Long Islander, I will tell you this. In order to love your neighbor, what do you have to do first? Let's see if anybody's got that answer. What do you have to do first? You have to know your neighbor. So you know what? You might have to open up that big fence you built around your house to try to keep people out. You have to open up your house. You have to open up your yard. You have to get to know your neighbor and then love them. God says, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Oh, boy. We're to love our enemy. We're to love to those who persecute us and hate us. We're to pray for them and bless them. That's God's will, opposite to the kingdom's will. We are to love our families, as hard as that is. We have to love our families. And we have to love the family of God, the body of Christ. They will know we are disciples by our love for each other. That is the will of God. Jesus, by his greatest example, would show us that God's will is hardest, and the sacrifice to love is the most painful, but yet the most necessary. That God's will would be done would become at the highest cost, the highest price. The example is the cross. The example is the cross. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 26, 38 to 42. Jesus gives us the example of the Garden of Gethsemane. And he just had his Lord's Supper, which we're going to have soon. And he says this. He's out in the garden. His disciples are sleeping. And he says to them, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus leaves his disciples. He kneels down and he prays. The battle is on. Jesus knew what he had to do. He knew the plan of God. But in his humanity, he knew the cross was coming. The shadow was there. He knew what he had to do. He knew what his Heavenly Father willed him to do and wanted him to do. But in his human nature, there is a desire not to follow his Father's plan and not to have to endure the pain and the suffering and carry the burden of sin for all time, for all man and humanity. And in his humanity, Jesus wrestles and he cries out to his Father. I'm very encouraged that Jesus wrestled in prayer because we wrestle in prayer. And he said, Abba, Father. He goes, Daddy, is there another way? If it is possible, take this cup from me. And the prayer time grows very intense, and the spiritual battle that is going on affects the physical Jesus, so much so that when he prays in such intensity that drops of blood fall from his face because he's popping blood vessels. That's how intense it is. And in deep prayer, Jesus knows the answer, and he does not sin, but he submits his will to God's will. And he says, yet not my will be done, but your will be done. It is then, when he says that, that the battle is won. It is not easy to surrender to God's will. Amen? Is it easy? Is it easy to submit to God's will, to surrender to God's will? No, it's not. And it wasn't for Jesus, and it isn't for us. It's not easy. He knew what he must endure, but Jesus was tired. He was weakened. He was crying out to God. And he said to his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. But still in prayer, because he went to the Lord in prayer, and because he said, my will, your will be done, not my will be done, he is strengthened enough to say that. He is strengthened enough to say, not my will, but your will be done. The disciple knows that it is the will of God that we must carry our cross, that we must carry our cross for our Lord, that there is suffering that will come, there is persecution that comes if we are living as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you live as a disciple, the more suffering will come. We have to give our lives to the Lord, both figuratively and literally. We may have to give our lives to the Lord, and that is hard. That is hard. You want to be a person who says, "Thy will be done." You need to be a person of prayer. And God starts out slowly, and He prepares you. But the way you prepare to say, "Thy will be done," is you become a person of prayer. If you're not a person of prayer, don't expect yourself to say in a crisis situation or any situation, "Thy will be done." That only comes after very intense prayer. Do you have a hardship? Do you have trials? Do you have suffering? Do you have sickness? Are you facing darkness? Are you facing despair? Are you struggling? Are you feeling down? Do you need prayer? Bring it to the church. Bring it here. Let us know what it is so that we can pray together. And we pray on Wednesday nights, and we really pray all throughout the week. But we pray on Wednesday nights for those who need prayer. If you need prayer for anything, this church will pray for you. Amen? And we have seen in that prayer time miracles happen here in this church. People strengthened, jobs found, jobs gotten, people healed. We have seen it all happen over the years. There is power in prayer. And the more the disciples of the Lord pray, the more they will say, "Thy will be done." And the more that we're able to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're surrendering our will to God's will. Amen? It is God's will for you. I'm going to say this to you very clearly. It is God's will for you to be here today. It is God's will for you to be in church, to praise God together, to pray together, to worship together, to hear God's word together, to encourage one another, to love one another, to hug each other as you greet each other. Somebody went reach out and grabbed the hand, took a handshake like it was like some kind of plague. No, don't do that. Well, that's what we used to do all the time. Do more than just hug. Do more than just handshake. Enter into their life. Encourage them. Love them. Be in church and be blessed by one another. Only Satan and Satan's will wants you to stay home and not come to church and not be in the fellowship of the brethren and to be strengthened and to be encouraged. Because he knows that if he can take that disciple and isolate him alone, he can devour him slowly. I have never seen somebody leave church and grow in their faith in any way. Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And then he went to the cross and he paid the price for you and for me. He knew our salvation was his Father's greatest will. Our salvation is the God the Father's greatest will. God the Father knew that it was his will that he would crush his Son on that cross and let him suffer that immeasurable pain and to die a sinner, to die for us, simply because he knew that he would rise him from the grave 3 days later and that Jesus would be victorious over sin and death. And then God's will knew that he would give out his Holy Spirit. And with that sacrifice, he would call, he would run after people, grab them and save them because of what the Lord had done in completing God's will on earth as it was in heaven. Amen? It is God's will that Jesus would die, but that he would rise from the grave and that would be our Savior. It was his will, the will of his Father, that this would happen. The Bible has many verses to speak about the will of God. And when I was preparing this message, I was thinking about, do I talk about all the verses that talk about the will of God, about how you live, how you do this? I wanted to, but that would be a 3-hour message. And I think you'd say amen. Thank you for that. Right? Okay, so we'll go with that. The Bible has many verses that speak about the will of God. But I'll say this to you. The greatest will of your heavenly Father is that you will believe upon his Son. That you will believe upon his Son. That you will receive him as your Lord and your Savior. That you will confess your sins before him. That you'll repent before God this very day and believe in your heart that God loves you, that God sent his Son for you, that God raised him from the dead for you, And that if you believe in him, if you repent, if you come to him, if you run after God, God runs after you. He grabs a hold of you and you will be saved for all eternity. And more than that, as great as that is, you will have life with Christ here on this earth. You will have life as an abundant child of the Lord. You will never be alone. That is God's will for you. He created you for this purpose. I think the Westminster Confession, I don't have it exactly, so Peter will correct me later, or Winston too. The will of the greatest chief end of man is to worship God and to love him forever. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer that eternal life is to know God and the one whom he sent. And that happens when you give your heart, you give your life to Jesus and have him be your Lord and Savior. For me, the verses that give me the greatest assurance of my salvation and my eternal security, my salvation that can never be taken away, is John 6, 38 to 40. For I have come down from heaven. This is Jesus speaking now. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me. Again, I say this to you. And this is the will of God who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Day. Your loving Heavenly Father's will is that you come to Jesus, that you know Jesus, that you believe in Jesus, and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What a gift that has been provided for you. Take it today, and you'll have eternal life. God, in His perfect will, God has brought you here today. God has called you to his Son as you have heard the gospel. The will of God is for you to be his forgiven, saved child. And you will rest in your Father's hands forever. You'll rest in the hands of God forever. Never to be cast out, never to be lost, but always and eternally to be God's blessed child. So let today be the day that you pray as a disciple of the Lord. Let your will be done. Elder Sal, can I ask you to close in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful this morning for this message. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, let that be, that all who hear about the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness of sins would fall to their knees at the cross, would ask for forgiveness of sins, would recognize
Amen. So let's prepare our hearts now and ourselves for the Lord's Supper that we will